And Google search Jim Acosta CNNO. Oh, well, there's a story with legs. Why are we talking about that and not about 12 dead in a California mass shooting? I don't know. It's just... Okay, so that's the worst mass shooting since last week. That's horrible, isn't it? Just every bit of it. Welcome back. It's the Sheldon McLeod Show. It's Thursday. It's November 8th, and Matt Brand is the producer of our program. Matt Brand, you had shown... I hadn't seen that video. I was in here, you know, flying the ship at, you know, 20,000 feet and just kind of cruising at altitude, and that whole thing was happening yesterday, and you had it on your tube, your TV. I was kind of not paying attention to the wizard behind the screen.
Well, because of my role here, I'm often on Twitter, so it's kind of hard to ignore these things, and Jim Acosta was, like, the top thing trending on Twitter, so, you know... It's like, oh, what is that about? And kind of look over and watch those video clips and,
Yeah, we had people tweeting at us, oh, this is what you drive when you show the video where he's, the video that appears to be doctored. I don't know. But the president of the United States of America shooing away a reporter. Someone said, well, maybe the press should just stop going. The press gallery should just boycott him. No, bad idea. Horrible idea. Terrible idea.
Because, you probably have good reasons, but I was just going to add that, you know, once they do that, then Trump doesn't seem to be one for kind of finding that middle ground. He seems to be someone who might want to escalate that and try to take the upper hand.
Happened in Canada. Stephen Harper, and he had placed restrictions on who could ask questions, and he tried that, and the gallery said that they were going to boycott his events. That doesn't last long. Because of what? Ratings. Because of what? If the Prime Minister of Canada says, yeah, we'd like to have a reporter cover this event. Well, okay, you would not say no. I don't imagine. Why would you say no?
And if you say no, someone else will say yes.
Well, somebody will say yes. But there's so many. It's like the stadium question. You know, again, I keep going back to it. It sounds like I'm being wishy-washy. I say, maybe this is a great opportunity, or maybe it's a huge gamble. There was a man on with, Rick Howe earlier today. A guy who's involved with this conversation. And, the pitch is, you can buy a ticket now to get in line to buy tickets in 2 or 3 years. And that this is a way for them to measure. Is that a plebiscite? Is that in some ways a binding plebiscite? Because if you're in business and you've got dollars on the table, you've got money in your pocket, you've got an up. Oh, he said it's in trust. You know, I'll grant him that. But where's the risk? Well, there is no risk. And as he said, we're already past the point where this is a non-starter, where if, you know, we had zero interest, we'd say no. But we had more than zero. We had pretty good uptake. How many? He didn't say. What's the goal? 12,000 pre-sold? Well, you're putting down $50, right? It's a lot of money.
Do we know how much the actual cost of season tickets would be?
He said anywhere from, you know, maybe $20 a game, maybe $200 a game, depending on where you're sitting.
Right.
So, you know, and a 20 to 40% discount if you buy a season package. So, you know, it's significant. Could be a couple hundred bucks, could be a couple thousand bucks.
Right.
Depending on how deep your pockets are.
Sure.
So that said, when Rick asked, well, but what about the stadium? Where's this $190 million coming from? Oh, that's still to be determined. But that's still a lot of money. And if I'm not mistaken, in Manitoba, the government backstopped a loan, kind of what he was alluding to today, saying that the province would take on a bond. Well, if the payments don't happen, who's responsible? Well, it's like if, Producer Matt, if you and I went out today and I co-signed a loan for you for a car and you decided not to pay, guess what? They're coming to me. That's
yes.
How that works.
Yes.
And not to say you're scot-free, you're not in the clear, but... That's how that thing works. Co-signer.
That reminds me, we got to talk after the show. But yeah, no, but it's true, and that's kind of. I know we're having Moshe Lander on after next commercial. Mm-hmm. We've had him on before, and just going by what he says, I can only assume he knows more than me because this is the thing he studies.
Yeah,
you know, if this incremental tax revenue model they're using doesn't pay the bills, then something has to pay the bills, and there's really only one place to get it.
Hmm. Randy Ambrosi in town at this news conference. Essentially, the stadium is the linchpin. If there's no stadium, there's no team. Someone else said, well, we already know how they feel about the rest of taxpayers. The only people who are able to vote on the name are the people who put down their $50. I'm not hung up about that. That's neither here nor there. You know, it's an incentive. You know, I don't think people are giving their $50 just so they have a chance to submit a name suggestion. I clearly doubt that. And I saw a number of people on Facebook and social media last night saying, I'm in. I put my money down.
Right.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be seen as the naysayer. But I think the questions that need to be answered before we know if this is a huge gamble for taxpayers are pretty much staring us in the face. And it was a question that was not answered when that Anthony LeBlanc was on with Rick today. And I'm not faulting Rick in any way. As we learned yesterday, you can ask all the questions you want. But the guy with the information, if he chooses not to give it to you, he could, you know, say you grabbed her by the what, and then you're banned from the presidential press pool.
Right.
So, yeah.
But how much, is this usually the way it works? You know, is it typically...
That's what former News 95.7 reporter Andy Pinson said, preseason or expansion teams.
Right.
They say, here's, you know, we're into this point. We're up to the point where we're going to gauge public interest. And again, does that mean it's binding? Well, that's their fiscal plan, their financial roadmap.
Right.
Means people are willing to spend dollars.
And I wonder how much of it is gauging interest and how much of it is kind of ramping up interest as well.
Hmm.
You know, if it becomes a little more tangible, I got my tickets from the CFL team.
Oh, well,
now you're more excited about it. Now
sure.
You're telling your friends.
Build some excitement. I saw that last night, and then that's what made me think. Should I take a stand that, yeah, this is a great idea. Just do it. Well, Rick Howes wanted a stadium forever, but he said to me, maybe I'll go to one game, maybe I'll go to a couple games, but I'm not going to buy season tickets.
How much does he really want a stadium?
Well, but if the team is dependent on the stadium, that puts him in an awkward spot, like a flu shot. Not even close. I don't know, man. So many questions.
And how many people just want a CFL team but aren't actually worried about the stadium question itself and the cost? Or just, I want a CFL team, and that's it.
Isn't it kind of arbitrary or perhaps irrelevant?
Well, I guess so.
What's what's another $200 million debt? It's not like it's on my name, in my name. So what? It'll work out. What's another half billion? Let's build a, who knows? I don't know. Monorail.
I mean, you know, that is the other side of it. Like, it's just going to go on our taxes anyway, but... I don't know.
No, it's not. He said it wouldn't.
Well, okay.
No, he said it wouldn't. He said, no, it won't affect the people who are already paying taxes because of the system. That's the way it works. But the stadium also wouldn't pay taxes, so there's that.
Right.
But he said, no, it wouldn't take anything away from services. Many questions. He's a very, very good salesman. I will give him that. Well, that's what I heard.
That's his job.
Well, and I think he did a good job at that. You going to shop online for the holidays? Are you an online shopper? I know you couldn't find your wallet today. That probably sucked a whole
found
lot.
Found eventually.
Good.
A lot of time wasted. Anyway, yeah, I like shopping online. It's easy.
I haven't for a long time.
However,
yeah,
I think I tend to online shop mostly for myself. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But when it comes to gifts, it's kind of like I'm not forward enough thinking to be like, I'm going to, you know, it's usually going out to a mall with a big park on. Getting in there, sweating, running around, not knowing what to do.
I haven't seen you since last year Christmas shopping in the same place. Yeah.
Trying to figure out, like, is there is still a place in this world that sells compact discs, you know?
Yeah.
I did find one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Apparently, according to a survey, a majority of shoppers intend to buy in Canada this holiday season. And here in our country, specifically in Nova Scotia, Boxing Day sales aren't really a thing. Stores aren't open on Boxing Day. It's the law.
Right. But we still have Boxing Day sales.
We do. It's just a few days afterwards. And we don't see perhaps the same deep discounting we see in the United States through that whole Black Friday. You know, the Friday after Thanksgiving that's coming up.
Yes.
Apparently that's starting to become a thing in Canada. I mean, it seems arbitrary. It seems out of the... It seems like, why are we...
We're having big sales because they have Thanksgiving and this date.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of weird.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from the Retail Council of Canada about that. We're going to talk to a woman with the health authority about take-home naloxone kits. Learn a little bit about that. A woman by the name of Justine McDonald has a new book called Remembrance Road, Taking Photos in European Battlefields in Advance of Remembrance Day. We'll talk about that. And also Claudia Chender, Talking Education. hour of openness from 2 until 3, and I got a big burning question for Matt Brand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You wanted me to remind you to ask that question.
Yeah.
You've just referenced it here now.
Mm-hmm.
When is this question coming?
Oh, just as our hour of openness.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I got a few things
that for later
on the list about stuff and such. And I've taken notes from the critics, those who were giving us some constructive criticism last week. So we'll provide the phone number a little more often. See, the phone's ringing now. We'll do that, and that's between 2 and 3. Moshe Lander, Concordia University, sports economist, and I hope the phones work. We'll be right back after this. Oh, this conversation about stadiums and football teams. It's on and on and on and on. Let's keep it going. Welcome back. It's the Sheldon McLeod Show here on News 95.7, and Matt Brand is our producer helping out on Twitter, and we'll talk about our Twitter poll question coming up in just a bit. So the conversation about a $190 million stadium and the chance for you to get in line, as they say, to put your $50 down. The team members or the folks involved with this bid say they've been pretty much impressed. They feel it's been a good response so far for the opportunity for people to start lining up and voting with their wallets. Moshe Lander is here with us. We keep crunching the numbers. We keep hearing about this. He's a university professor with Concordia. He also has spent time here in Halifax. Pre-selling tickets to a CFL team, you're suggesting maybe a little too early, Moshe?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea once you know that A, you have a team, B, you have a stadium, C, you have a start date, D, you have a front office. This is too early. It really doesn't indicate anything unless there's overwhelming support.
The suggestion is, though, so far, the numbers of folks who've already put their $50 down, it's convinced the owners or these folks that want to do this that there's a sane enough or a solid enough foundation to keep this conversation going. You don't buy that?
No, I wouldn't doubt that there is support. At this point, asking people to put up $50 isn't a major, major dent in their disposable income, and it's not going to fundamentally change their life at all in the next 6 months or anything, but asking them to put up $50 for a theoretical team that could be 2 to 3 years out is not the same thing as asking them to now make a firmer commitment once there is an actual team with an actual start date. So I just think that it's maybe a little more political, and it's maybe to try and indicate to the city that you really should be investing in the stadium, because there's a lot of Haligolians out there that really want this.
When the argument is presented, well, this is how franchise rules work. This is how people usually do this. They offer up an opportunity to get in line and buy tickets ahead of time. Is this not the way that sports franchise expansion goes?
With expansion, you do it closer to the actual date, right? At this point, the issue is that there's no indication of a date. I mean, everyone's conducting themselves as if it's a foregone conclusion that there will be a team in Halifax. And I do agree, there will be a team in Halifax. But at this point, whether it's 2020, 2021, whether the team starts in Moncton, whether it starts right away in Halifax, if it starts at some sort of temporary site or a permanent site, like, all of those things are unknown. So a $50 deposit at this point, it's premature. It's not that it's incorrect. It's not that it's the wrong thing to do. It's just that it's too early in the process at this point.
Moshe Lander is joining us on the broadcast, and as mentioned, he's been tagged by many in the media in this city to talk about the stadium story, the CFL franchise expansion. On a business level, we're hearing about Maritime Football Limited Partnership, so it's a limited incorporated entity in law. What does that mean?
It just means that if the team goes down, you're not going to start dipping into Anthony LeBlanc's personal pocket and saying, give me the difference, right? So that's no different than, say, Maple Leaf Entertainment or, Molson being the owners of the Montreal Canadiens. That's not an uncommon exercise to have it as a private corporation with not, say, public ownership.
And the reason I even ask this is that when Anthony LeBlanc was on with Rick Howe earlier today, the question was presented, whose money's at risk here? What is the ask? And at the end of the conversation, about the end of the question about where will the $190 million come from to build this, it was, well, that hasn't been decided yet.
It hasn't. The forms that have been sent over to the city are basically asking the city to stump up nine figures, about $100 million of the $190 million asking price. excuse me. The remaining would come out of, say, Maritime, or however it is that they choose to raise the money. That could be by borrowing the money. It could be coming out of like a personal check from the owners themselves. So the ask on the city is $100 million or on Nova Scotia in general.
So the analogy I drew is that if producer Matt and I were buying a car and I co-signed for him, if there's a bond issued and the municipality or the province is involved, does it follow the same rules that if one party can't afford it, the other's on the hook for it?
I mean, it's really, this comes back to something that we talked about last time I was on, which is that idea of the TIF, right? So how is the $100 million going to come out of the government's pockets, right? And remember, at the end of the day, there's a taxpayer involved. So how exactly is this $190 million going to be paid for? Presumably, what you would expect is, say, the $190 million is paid for by Maritime up front, and then they receive $100 million paid back by the province, whether it's in the form of that TIF or whether it's in the form of one of those, you know, big novelty checks or some capacity that they get that money back. What happens if the team goes down, if the stadium goes under, who's responsible for taking care of that? That's going to be in the stuff that's to come next. Once the city's done its analysis of whether this is a good deal or not, then they're going to start to actually move towards tidying things up with a formal contract of how is this, you know, company going to operate.
Moshe Lander here with us. As mentioned, he's a university professor at Concordia, teaches economics, specializes in sports economies. What's the difference between what happened in Manitoba? I'm looking at the numbers that suggest they couldn't, the loan that was made, the revenue coming in couldn't cover the loan, and taxpayers ultimately were on the hook for it. How is what's being offered up as an opportunity here in Nova Scotia different from that?
You better pray that the one in Halifax is successful. That's the difference. it really isn't different, right? So what happens is when money is promised to the ownership group that you will get $100 million from the city and province in some capacity, and those numbers fail to materialize, then you're forced to come up with that money from other sources. So right now what's being presented to Maritime is that they'll collect $100 million worth of this TIF, the incremental tax revenue that's generated by businesses that should all of a sudden sprout up in Shannon Park once the stadium is built. If those businesses never materialize, but the city and province have promised Maritime $100 million, then they have to find that money from somewhere else. And so that's going to come out of taxpayer money. So what went sideways in Winnipeg was that a whole bunch of money was promised from economic activity that failed to materialize, and the province was left then handing over money to an ownership group saying, whoops, we got it wrong.
Is this, Moshe, anything like what we hear? There was an expert testifying at the Muskrat Falls project saying, you know, when these are being pitched, when these big investments are being pitched, people tend to lowball what the cost will be and probably exaggerate a bit what the benefits will be. Do you see any perhaps parallels between the stadium conversation and these other big mega projects?
Absolutely. It's always the case. And that drifts over from sports into all aspects of public policy. Whenever you want to try and sell something to a skeptical taxpayer, the way that you do it is you give them tremendous promises of wealth and income and jobs and all of the wonderful things, and you downplay all of the risks. So you know, it's a way to get the taxpayer on side for something, and it gives shield to government officials who, if things don't materialize the way it was promised, they can just say, well, we got our numbers wrong, or we were presented bad information, or there was some complicating factor that at the time we couldn't have known about, but has now emerged, and that's why what we promised is failed to deliver. So, no, that's exactly it. It's all the time, and it's something you and I have discussed briefly on this show with, say, like the Calgary Olympic bid. It's what's going on over there right now with all of these wonderful benefits and all of these downplayed costs. And same as Muskrat Falls, same as this stadium, it's just not going to turn out the way that it's promised, and somebody's going to be left holding the bill, and that's the taxpayer.
But going into it eyes wide open with that information, there's still a case to be made if the community wants. There's lots of times the government spends a lot of money on projects that they think are good investments, and sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. So we can't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And I'm not sitting here saying that the CFL shouldn't come to Halifax, or that people in Halifax shouldn't be happy to have a team, or even that the city shouldn't put up $100 million. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that exactly your phrase there, eyes wide open. Just at least know what you're getting yourself into. And if you're prepared to use your limited tax dollars to finance a stadium so that you can have a team, then my comments are completely irrelevant. That's the will of the taxpayer, and I'm not here to interfere with that. It's that, unfortunately, taxpayers are often promised one thing, and they time and time again buy into the hype, and they're disappointed. I'm just here to try and provide the information of know what you're getting yourself involved in, and if you still want it, go for it. I mean, when I'm there in Halifax in the summer, I will happily go see a game in Halifax. I'm a sports fan as much as I am an economist.
Are you getting tired of people calling you and asking you about this, though?
No, I perfectly happy to share out what I know, what my area of expertise is, and I think that the value that I'm creating is at least hopefully informing, you know, 1, 2, 10, hundreds, well, in your case, tens of thousands of listeners that otherwise might not hear that information so that they can make the informed decision.
Tens of thousands of listeners over 4 years. We got it. It's all in framing the numbers. Moshe Lander, thank you for doing this as always. And I'm sure there'll be a reason for us to call again soon.
Can't wait. Talk to you next time.
Take care. Moshe Lander here with us on the broadcast. And again, I don't want to... All I think of is this whole conversation about a CFL stadium and a CFL team or a football stadium is Celine Dion. Do you remember a number of years ago she was supposed to play an open-air concert on the Commons around the time the Rolling Stones and Paul McCartney and all that? And Halifax said, Celine Dion outside in an outdoor concert? That sounds ridiculous. And we were accused of chasing her off. We, those of us who really aren't fans of Celine Dion.
I think we did. I think we did. I think those people did. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And was that a good idea? Was it not a good idea? It was an idea. And that people didn't like the idea and they said, we won't buy tickets. I'm sure they would have sold tickets. But when Paul McCartney can't sell 40,000 tickets, was it a good investment if taxpayers would have been on the hook?
Now I have to go all the way to Vegas to see her live. That's what the end result of that was.
Well, you know, Penn and Teller are there, so it'd be worth the trip.
No, I'm just going for Celine.
Who?
Celine Dion.
No.
Songstress. Voice of an angel.
Her heart will go on. And we will go on to talk about Remembrance Day, coming up after the 1 o'clock news. A book about, it's a picture book, European battlefields, all of this in advance of Remembrance Day. We'll learn more from Justine McDonald, coming up after the news.